and Answers begins right now.
Is there a difference between terrorism and a just war? Or is it a matter of perspective? Is there a time when the use of force is justified? There's a lot of confusion regarding terrorism and just war. The reactions to the current conflict between Hamas and Israel reveal the confusion in our culture today. You're tuned to Evidence and Answers radio broadcast with our host, Pat Zukran. Pat is an author, teacher, and international speaker in the area of Christian apologetics, the defense of the Christian faith. The last time we were together, Pat began a fifth message in this series regarding the Israel-Hamas conflict. If you've missed any part of this message, log on at evidenceandanswers.org, and there you will find this message entitled, The Israel and Hamas Conflict, Terrorism versus a Just War. And you'll find hundreds more podcasts that you may download or listen online. Now let's get right to the conclusion. Here's our host, Pat.
Second, there must be just intention. The intention of going to battle is to secure peace, never revenge or conquest to gain territory or economic gain or exploit the resources of another country. It's to secure peace, to defeat the enemy force and restore peace to the land and to the nation, to the world, right? So just intention to secure peace. Third, war must be a last resort when all other means fail, right? Economic boycott, negotiations, when all of that fails and that enemy still insists on invading or using military force against another country, a war is the last resort when all other means fails. Fourth, there must be a formal declaration of war. Since the use of military force, that right is given to human governments. Remember Romans chapter 13, it's a government that has the authority to bear the swords, not private groups or individuals. So a state of war must be declared by the highest authorities, by governments. They must declare war on the other nation there. And if the other nation does not surrender or come to the negotiation table, then as a last resort, the declaration is given, and then the country is justified in going to war. Fifth, there must be limited objectives, right? You're there to defeat the enemy and establish peace. You're not there to completely wipe out the people, destroy the culture, and burn down all that there is in the land. Excessive force is not to be used. Limited objective, military targets, defeating the enemy, all right? Six, there must be only a use of force that is proportionate to attain victory. You're not there to completely destroy the country. You want to use enough force to attain victory. And that is it, all right? Seventh, civilian casualty must be avoided. Military combatants and military bases are the targets. Civilian casualty is to be avoided as much as possible. Now, in a war situation, it's not always possible to not have any civilian casualties. And unfortunately, the ethics by which Hamas fights, they use civilians as shields. And so it's going to be really tough not to have civilian casualties. But the United States spends billions of dollars on creating advanced technology. For example, missiles using laser technology so we can precisely hit the target, the military target we're looking at, with the least amount of collateral damage as possible. Well, let's take a look at terrorism here. Terrorism defined is the use of fear and violence against innocent civilians, right? Not against military combatants or military bases. It's the use of fear and violence against innocent civilians in an attempt to influence public opinion and policy. That's the definition of terrorism. So terrorists usually do harm to civilians, non-combatants, in an effort to create societal fear. Now, we're going to look at terrorism and just war, all right? And the difference is this. when it comes to terrorism, you just take the principles of just war that we just went over and you just turn them upside down and you get terrorism. All right. So comparing terrorism and just war, let's take a look here. In just war, the goal is to protect the innocent versus terrorism, which is to strike terror. On October 7th, Hamas launched a large-scale surprise attack on unarmed civilians in Israeli territory. And if you read the reports there and you saw some of the videos, Hamas burned people alive, cut off heads, raped women, and mutilated bodies of civilians. So these gruesome acts were not done to protect their homeland of Gaza, but to strike fear and terror on the people of Israel so that they would have a position to make demands. And we're seeing their demands now. Israel's response, on the other hand, was to protect their civilians from Hamas. So between just war and terrorism, it's just war you're there to protect, versus in terrorism, it's to strike terror into the opposition. Second, just war is meant to secure peace, while terrorism, their goal is to cause fear. The attack by Hamas there on October 7th was not to bring peace, anything. It was to strike fear through their acts of violence. It was not an act of peace. It was a clear disruption of peace. Israel now seeks to destroy Hamas for the purpose of bringing peace to the land. Hamas has proven over the last several decades to be a terrorist organization, and their goal, which they clearly state in the Hamas government and in their symbols, and if you hear the speeches of their leaders, is the destruction of Israel. And peace will not come to the land unless this group, its leaders and its ideology, is brought to an end. And unfortunately, you're going to have to use military force to make that possible. Third, in a just war, the use of force is the last resort after all else fails. While in terrorism, you first strike and then make your demands. Hamas, as we all witnessed, launched a surprise attack, killed thousands of Israelis, took over 1,400 hostages, and then started making their demands. And Hamas used the hostages not only for their own protection, but also to make demands, specifically the release of many Hamas combatants from Israeli prisons. You see the prisoner swap going on here. Israel is releasing many people who committed acts of violence against the nation of Israel back to Hamas. Israel, on the other hand, the use of force was the last resort for Israel. Because they had been attacked like this, then force was necessary. And you look at the hostages being released by Hamas. We've seen over 80 of them now. Who are they? Women, children, elderly women, and infants even. Children and elderly adults. You look at the hostages being released by Israel. They are not children and elderly men and women, but adults who have committed acts of terror. Fourth, in just war, there is a formal declaration given by governments, whereas in terrorism, it is all about surprise. There is no formal declaration given. On October 7th, Hamas launched a surprise attack on Israel with no formal declaration or a warning. So Israel, in response, warned the civilians in northern Gaza, dropping thousands of leaflets in northern Gaza, warning the people there, we are coming to take out Hamas. So get out of northern Gaza, flee to the south. And they were given, the Gaza people were given time to escape northern Gaza and flee to the south, even though that provided an advantage to Hamas. They knew where Israel was going to attack, and approximately, they knew that they had some time, if they wanted to get some of their men out of northern Gaza into southern Gaza. And so although it provided Hamas some advantage, Israel gave a formal declaration and a warning to the civilians in northern Gaza to get out. Fifth, its limited objectives versus destruction of a nation. The Hamas mission, it's clearly stated if you read their material, but the Hamas mission is the annihilation of the Jewish people. Their goal is clearly seen in their logo. If you look at their logo, the entire land of Palestine there at the top of their logo, the entire land of Palestine is in green, the color of Hamas. This reveals their goal, which is removal of the Jews from Israel and bringing all of Palestine under the Islamic rule of Hamas. There is no compromise. There is no room for a two-state solution. Their goal is the complete removal of the Jews from the land of Israel. Their desire for the complete destruction of Israel is also seen in the Hamas covenant. And you can read this covenant there on the internet. It's readily available. You can see what their mission and their goal is. In the introduction of the Hamas covenant, it states, Israel will exist and will continue to exist until Islam will obliterate it, just as it obliterated others before it. Article 7 of the Hamas covenant states, nevertheless, the Islamic resistance movement aspires to bring the promise of Allah to pass, no matter how long it takes. As the Prophet Muhammad, may the prayer of Allah and his blessing of peace be upon him, said, the time, judgment day, will not come until Muslims fight the Jews and kill them, until the Jew hides behind the rocks and trees. And then the rocks and trees will say, O Muslim, O servant of Allah, there is a Jew hiding behind me. Come and kill him, except for the salt bush tree. So it is the tree of the Jews. And they are quoting a passage from the Hadith. It's one of the most reliable collections of Al-Bukhari there, Muslim 26 there. And so in the Hamas covenant, it reveals the desire of Hamas is not victory over the Jews, but complete annihilation and destruction of the Jews, complete removal of the Jews from the land of Palestine. That's why it's so difficult. They will not accept a two-state solution. That's why a two-state solution hasn't worked with groups like Hamas, whose goal, clearly stated, is the destruction of the nation of Israel. Israel, on the other hand, seeks the end of Hamas, not destruction of Gaza or wiping out the Palestinian people. In fact, Israel warned the Gaza civilians in the north that they will be attacking northern Gaza, the stronghold of Hamas. They've made their goal clear. It's to destroy this terrorist organization, Hamas, not wiping out or the annihilation of the Palestinian people. Their goal is the defeat of Hamas. And as I've made it clear several times in this series, Hamas does not represent the Palestinian people. Most Palestinians are peace-loving, peaceful people. Hamas is a terrorist organization, and they do not represent the ideology of most of the Palestinian people. 6. Only appropriate force is used in just war versus in terrorism. The largest amount of damage possible is the goal. So Hamas attacked areas where there were crowds gathered, like those going to the concert. Israel, on the other hand, like the United States, is using precision-guided rockets and seeking to take out Hamas military targets and military combatants. So they're doing the best that they can targeting military targets and military combatants. 7th, in just war, civilian casualty is to be avoided versus in terrorism, civilians are the target. And we see Hamas, they clearly attack civilians. And you look amongst their prisoners are babies, infants, elderly men and women. And even now, Hamas is using civilians as shields and fighting from hospitals, schools, and religious centers. If you look at the documentaries and footage coming out, Israel has discovered tunnels and ammunition stored in hospitals, in elementary schools, and religious centers. And many of the hostages report that they were in those tunnels used to prevent Israel from attacking the militants who are hiding there and the ammunition that was stored there. So as much as Israel tries to avoid civilian casualties, it'll be very, very difficult because Hamas uses civilians as human shields. So it's very difficult for Israel to avoid at many times civilian casualties the way Hamas is doing battle there. And Israel warned non-combatants before they invaded to get out of northern Gaza and to flee to the south. And despite the advantage this gave Hamas, Israel dropped thousands of leaflets into northern Gaza warning the people. But in terrorism, civilians are the target. In just war, they try to target military targets and military combatants. And as I said, because Hamas uses civilians as human shields and protection, that's a very unethical way to fight, but it's very difficult. It's going to be very difficult. Israel has some very difficult choices to make in attacking some of these military targets. And so we're going to have to use a lot of wisdom and discernment there. And unfortunately, it doesn't look like they'll be able to completely avoid civilian casualties the way Hamas is doing battle. So they're not fighting on the same moral grounds here. And as you can see, Hamas and Israel are not fighting on the same moral ground here. So I hope you see that there is a difference in this battle here between just war and terrorism. Well, how do nations combat terrorist groups and terrorist nations? Well, there have been two responses. One is to respond with force against terrorists and terrorist nations, and the other is pacifism. And history has shown that when a nation gives into terrorists, it only emboldens more terrorist activity. Winston Churchill pointed out that appeasement only whets the appetite for more. The prime minister prior to Winston Churchill, Chamberlain, conceded to Adolf Hitler and only emboldened Hitler and the Nazis to more aggression. It was not until Winston Churchill finally stood his ground that Hitler finally paid attention. And we thankfully saw eventually the United States get involved in the end to the Nazi Empire. In this particular situation, Hamas is determined to destroy Israel. Their goal is clearly stated in their motto, from the river to the sea, stating that they want the entire area of Palestine to be an Islamic theocracy. They will not settle for anything less than the destruction of Israel and eradicating the Jews from the land. And the method to accomplish this is not negotiation, but jihad or military action. For example, just read the Hamas covenant, Article 13. This is just one section of the Hamas covenant. If you read the covenant regarding peaceful solutions, diplomatic initiatives, and international conferences, this is what Article 13 states. And this is just a small part of Article 13. Diplomatic initiatives, the so-called peaceful solutions of international conferences to find a solution to the Palestinian problem, contradict the Islamic resistance movement's ideological position. Giving up any part whatsoever of the land of Palestine is like ignoring a part of the Muslim faith. They go on to say there's no solution for the Palestinian question except through jihad. Initiatives, proposals, and international conferences are all a waste of time and vain endeavors. The Palestinian people know better than to consent to having their future rights and fate toyed with. In the last part I'll read, it says there's no solution to the Palestinian problem except jihad. Regarding the international initiatives, suggestions, and conferences, they're an empty waste of time and complete nonsense. So here, Hamas doesn't see negotiation as an option. The only thing they will accept is the removal of the Jews from the land of Israel. They do not want a two-state solution here. Their only position is complete removal of the Jews from the land of Israel, not a two-state solution. They are willing to accomplish this through jihad. And so really the only way to deal with groups like Hamas and Hezbollah and terrorist organizations like this really is by force. Force must be used against such organizations. Giving in to their demands only emboldens them to more military activity. Now, we must answer the question, what is a terrorist? A criminal or a foreign enemy of the government? Well, criminals threaten the state from within. Foreign armies threaten the state from the outside. Romans 13 states that governments are responsible to promote justice and to stand against evil. And evildoers should be afraid of governments. So when terrorists attack a nation, they should not be considered criminals, but foreign combatants. In this case, we do not bring them to justice. We have to bring justice to them. It's highly unlikely. They do not have the rights of citizens of the state. They are foreign combatants. And it's not likely you're going to be able to bring them into court and try them. You're going to have to bring justice to them. Military force and strategy then should be used to hunt down and capture terrorists. What about dealing with countries that host terrorists? Diplomacy must be used so that one can work within host countries to root out terrorist organizations. So diplomats must make two things clear to the nations that harbor terrorists. These nations must capture and punish terrorists as criminals, or they should extradite them and have them tried in an international court of law. When governments fail to execute justice or are powerless to do so, then they leave themselves open to the consequences of allowing a hostile foreign military force to come in the borders of that nation. And in the Old Testament, God allowed even ordered Israel, to attack nations that threatened or attacked God's people or the nation of Israel. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, David was ordered by the Lord to defeat the Philistines who had killed King Saul and his sons and was threatening to attack the nation of Israel. In 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 14, we see this phrase, "And the Lord gave victory to David wherever he went." God blessed David in his battles against the enemies of Israel.
Here.
So in dealing with terrorists and nations that host terrorists, often you're going to have to bring justice to them. And often to establish peace, you're going to have to completely defeat and wipe out that terrorist organization to bring peace back to the land. And that seems to be the goal of Israel here, is to not wipe out the Palestinian people or to destroy the land of Gaza. Their intent is to wipe out Hamas and restore peace to the land. We see that Hamas has been a force of evil. They do not seek peaceful means or negotiations. And so the only way to eliminate that threat, unfortunately, then, is through military action to completely wipe out the leadership. And eventually you're going to have to defeat the ideology of this kind of movement, or else you'll get other cells and other groups popping up in different places, or other groups that have similar ideologies to strengthen themselves and to come to the forefront after Hamas is defeated and hopefully wiped out. So the ideology must also be defeated as well. Well, I hope this will help you understand the difference between terrorism and just war. And in a fallen world where there is evil and wicked regimes threatening nations, the use of force is justified by governments when it is used in defensive measures to defeat terrorism and execute justice. When we follow biblical guidelines, then we're justified in our use of force. Well, I hope that helped you understand the difference between terrorism and a just war. And I hope this helped bring clarity to the Israel and Hamas conflict as we look at this, not just through a geopolitical lens, but through the framework of the Bible. Thanks for being with us. I hope this series has been helpful to you in helping understand how biblical principles apply to all areas of life, especially in this area of the use of force, when it is justified and when it is not. Thanks for being with us. I look forward to seeing you again here on Evidence and Answers.
Once again, we've run out of time. Thank you for joining us here on Evidence and Answers. Our goal is to bring you the love of Christ and to equip you in your faith to always be ready to give a response. If you would like to hold an apologetics conference or series of teachings at your facility, contact Pat by calling him in Hawaii. That number is 483-0586. Or you may email him through the Evidence and Answers website. That's evidenceandanswers.org. Be sure to browse through our listing of topics on our site. We have everything from atheism to Zen Buddhism. You will also find articles and additional audio for you to listen to or download. An additional location to find Pat's messages is on YouTube. Look up Evidence and Answers and hit the subscribe button. To keep quality broadcasts like Pat's on the air, we rely on generous financial support from you, our listeners. Donating is simple. Just log on at evidenceandanswers.org. Evidence and Answers is grateful for one of our sponsors, the Honolulu Christian Church. If you don't have a home church and are looking for a place to grow in your faith, check out the Honolulu Christian Church. For service times, log in at honoluluchristian.org. Join us again next time on the air or online as we provide compelling reasons for faith in Christ. That's Evidence and Answers with Pat Zukeran.